A career Christian minister, Phil Blackwell, is also an activist who seeks social justice. He has spent a lifetime fighting for the economic conditions of the poor and fights against racial stereotypes. And no, Phil Blackwell doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was a conservative Republican.
Hi, this is Phil Blackwell, retired Protestant minister. For 45 years, I spent a lot of time speaking to a lot of people in public places. But now in my retirement, I really am talking to myself. So I invite you to listen in. Talking about the focus on the fundamentals as it relates to health care. Our zip code is more important than our genetic code. That startled me when Dr. Robert Wynn said that to a group discussing health care and well-being a few months ago. Dr. Wynn is the director of the University of Illinois Cancer Center in Chicago and a leader of the Community-Based Practice Initiative of the university. He grew up in a disadvantaged urban area with a teenage mother struggling to keep the family intact. So he's speaking from personal experience when he says our zip code is more important than our genetic code when it comes to health and well-being. The United States spends more money on health care per person than any other country in the world. And yet, according to the World Health Organization, we rank 37th, just behind Costa Rica and just ahead of Slovenia when it comes to general well-being. Cuba, upon which some Americans want to turn their backs again, has a higher life expectancy rating for low and middle class people than does the United States. So doctors and researchers in Dr. Wynn's program actually are going to Cuba to see what actually works. The difference, in our country, healthcare is individualized and medicalized. We focus on individuals, disregarding their social and economic setting. And yet we know, not only by academic studies, but also just common sense, that poverty, inadequate housing, poor education, deficient sanitation, unemployment, stress, and food insecurity work together to make people sick. And we can evaluate these factors by zip code. I got to know a lot of people who were homeless during the time I pastored a church in downtown Chicago, right across the street from the pinnacles of power in city, county, and state governments. These homeless members of the Chicago community frequently found the church to be a respite in the busy downtown area and often used the church as a place to meet, rest, eat, and invariably ask for money. We did the best we could, but the need was much greater than what we could meet. One of the most common requests was for us to call 911 to get an ambulance to take someone to Cook County Hospital. Often people needed urgent care, but just as often they needed to use the emergency room for their routine medical needs. The ER was their doctor's office. None of them knew whether they had health insurance, to be sure, although some of them qualified through medical military veteran plans, a separate labyrinth of forms and processes. But because they had no permanent address and seldom a working cell phone, and also because the veterans' health care system is in constant chaos, they went to the county hospital, often at great cost to county residents. But who could blame them? They had no choice. They lived in the wrong zip code. Our church served meals to several needy people during the week. Early in my ministry there, I talked to a room full of diners at this lunch and told them that I would be having an audience with the mayor soon. That's how it is in Chicago. You have an audience with the mayor. And I asked them what they wanted me to tell him about their challenges downtown. I thought they might talk about more social services, more on-the-job training, more single-room occupancy housing, all of which would have been accurate assessments of their adopted city center zip code. But they said, we'd like to have a place to wash our clothes. There's no laundromat downtown. And we'd like to have a place to take a shower. I mean, they knew their clothes were filthy. They knew their bodies smelled. But their social context did not take into account their simplest needs. I mean, imagine wearing the same clothes all week, the same socks, worn-out shoes, due to being on your feet all day and half the night. And their health suffered from the lack of laundromats and showers. It would be cheaper for the city to provide those services than for the county to absorb the medical costs at the emergency room. One more thing they taught me. As I was filling in name tags for those lining up for lunch, I, in my ill-at-easeness, apologized to one of the men for providing only one meal a week when I knew they had to eat every day throughout the week. He stared at me and pointed and said, "Stop talking like that. Don't you understand that this is the only place all week where I'm called by my name rather than being called names?" Health is a result of being taken seriously as a human being. And that doesn't begin to register as one of the great expenditures we consider when we contend with one another over health care costs. We're more focused on individual costs and what profit the insurance and drug companies can make than how we can improve the social context in which people live and get sick. Food deserts, those zip codes where healthful foods are not available or affordable, thereby seeing an increase in obesity and diabetes. But it's not just in urban areas of great poverty where supermarkets are afraid to go. Years before working in the Loop, I served a church in one of the wealthy suburbs north of Chicago. One of the Boy Scouts in our congregation's troop wanted to set up a food pantry in our basement in order to earn a merit badge. And I confess to thinking to myself, who would need a food pantry in this community? I mean, look around at all the wealth here. But we said yes to the scout, who dutifully built shelves and asked people for canned food donations. Last I heard, the food pantry is still going strong some 25 years later. There's one instance where the zip code serves to mask a real human need. Now, I live in a food desert. My wife and I have retired to a modest lake cottage near a state park in southeastern Wisconsin, about 8 miles outside of the nearest town, which has a population of about 7,000 during the summer, but more than double than that when the students are in residence for classes at the University of Wisconsin campus in town. So let's say close to 18,000 people, and there's no supermarket in town. A big box store opened up a food section and put the two local grocery stores out of business. The big box store has food, yes, but Consumer Reports just has ranked them last out of the 62 grocery providers nationwide. Worst in quality of fresh produce, worst in choice of fresh produce, worst in fresh meat, worst in quantity of food from local producers, not to mention worst in cleanliness and customer service. But it's the only store in town. Now, my wife and I can drive 40 miles round trip to the nearest authentic supermarket. We have a car, we have time, we have the money to pay for gas. But what about the elderly, the financially struggling, those who cannot drive themselves, the students who didn't have time to get to the next town and back between classes? See, your zip code is more important than your genetic code when it comes to food, too. A variation on the theme, Mr. Johnson, my wife and I work with the Meals on Wheels program in the area. We got a phone call from a social worker at a nearby hospital asking for meals for Mr. Johnson for the first 2 weeks at home after his surgery. He lives right where three counties meet, but none of them has any help to offer him. Our Meals on Wheels program does not extend to his house in the country, but we went anyway. He lives on a farm where there's no heat and no electricity in the house. His health was precarious, and his recovery was in jeopardy unless someone filled in the gaps. So his zip code might have proven to be fatal. Now he seems to have made it through the first few weeks and is getting stronger, but no thanks to the healthcare system, no thanks to the insurance companies, no thanks to the local governments, no thanks to the national government. Right now, we have a national crisis about health care in our country, but the wrong people are at the wrong table talking about the wrong things. First, elected officials ought not to be leading the discussion because their primary purpose in public life is to get reelected. Their health care depends on it, as do their salaries, their pensions, and their children's education. Their concern is about themselves before the constituents. Second, the table should be open to participants who know the people from all the zip codes, who represent the diversity of the populations and the social settings that should be the basis for making healthcare decisions. To quote Dr. Nguyen again, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And the people about whom decisions are being made are not at the table right now, and they're being eaten alive. Third, the topic discussed these days is the cost of healthcare, not the essential factors that will increase the health and well-being of all Americans. It is encouraging to know that there are people not waiting for the government to get it right. There are tables for discussion right now where people from the community are identifying the fundamental causes of our deteriorating health among Americans, the ways in which social factors undercut an individual's health, the economic models that can cause sickness, the impact the environment has on our health and we have on our environment, and how we live goes a long way to determining where we live, which determines our health. This is the fundamental healthcare agenda. And in this instance, and maybe only in this instance, I'm a fundamentalist. Phil Blackwell on MadisonTalks.com.